The reading is from Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6. It's the story of Abraham and how God appeared to him in a vision back in the days when he was still called Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Thank you, Lionel, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Parramatta Baptist Church, and we continue in our new series on faith. Faith looks like. I want to introduce you to Chris Hall. Many of you may not know Chris because he's a regular 1045er. So put you in context first. You're a 1045er and you come with your family.
Absolutely,
so tell us who they are.
Yep. My wife's Catherine. We married 16 years. Daughter Amelia, who's 9, and my son Nathaniel, who's 7.
Yeah. Now, you've actually been coming to Parramatta Baptist Church for quite a while. This year has been the first time you've come as a complete family, but certainly you and Amelia, I'm not sure how awake Amelia was through my sermons, but Sunday nights,
absolutely.
You were quite a regular there.
So coming to the night service probably 6 years or so, and then as this year we came as a family to the morning service.
Yeah, and you've also been part of a Parramatta Baptist small group for the last, that must be 5 to 6 years as well.
Love it.
So there's good connections there. If you're not sure of Chris's background, he'll share a little bit of himself as he goes through. I've certainly known Chris as colleagues. We're both accredited Baptist pastors, so we've met each other at different events. And so when you showed up a few 5, 6 years ago, it was lovely to connect with you there. And certainly over this last 12 months, I've really enjoyed having you as part of our church, just watching your kids engage with the ministries here and Catherine connect, but also for us just to have those longer conversations about life and ministry and what the future holds for us all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been a real joy. When you're not preaching on Sunday mornings and outside of ministry, what are the things that really switch you on, things that you really enjoy doing?
Yeah, look, I love going to the gym or going for walks. I love scuba diving, hanging out with my kids, Netflix, that sort of thing. Yeah.
It was so good and active until that last word, wasn't it?
Then I become a slob.
Oh, good. All the best for this morning. Can I pray? This is what happens. Like, I pray for people and then they start their sermon with a prayer and then I feel like my prayer wasn't good enough. It's like, anyway, in faith, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm not going to become insecure that my prayer wasn't good enough when you pray again, okay? Just join with me. Father, we do thank you for Chris and Catherine and their family and the way in which in different contexts and in different churches they've served you over many years. Thank you for Chris's influence and continuing influence as he speaks to different congregations in our association, Lord, and just his place in this church at the moment, Lord, and his encouragement and his engagement here. Father, we do pray for your blessing over him and his family. And as we come to hear your word, Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would speak through Chris to us, that our hearts and our minds would be receptive to all that you have to say to us this morning. May this be to your glory, God, we ask. Amen.
Amen.
All yours.
Thanks very much, Steve. And thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be with you, to be able to open up the Word of God together and to continue this series of Faith Looks Like. I'm enjoying the series so far. And today we're looking at the story of Abraham, and we're looking at holding on to God's promises. And particularly, I want to look at the sort of things that we discover as we seek to hold on to God's promises in life. Because indeed, God does promise us things. But what is it that we discover as we go about this faith journey? But as we begin, I want to ask you to think about this question. What would you say to somebody if they were to ask you about what it means to hear the voice of God? What do you reckon you would say to them? Trav spoke a little bit about this last week, and it was a really good sermon. But what would you say to someone? You know, I recently had this question come up by some non-Christians, in fact, some Buddhists. The story goes that, as I said, I go to a local gym and I'm building friendships there. I consider the gym as one of my sense places where I'm trying to build those relationships and be able to tell people about Jesus. And one of the things I've done there in trying to build friendships and build some community is I've set up a messenger group for a good stack of people at the gym. And it came up a couple of months ago, one of the guys in our messenger group had his birthday. And so we were all busy wishing him happy birthday in the group. And when I wished him a happy birthday, he then sent me a message saying, "Chris, why don't you come over tonight and have some drinks to celebrate my birthday with me?" This is my scent place. He's someone I'm trying to build a relationship with. So of course I'm going to go over. And so I went over there, and it was mostly his family or extended family there. And it was a great night, but there was a point in the night where conversation changed a little bit. See, my friend whose birthday it was shared with everyone that I was a pastor. Now, sometimes that completely changes the conversations and things get really, really awkward. But this was not one of those nights. You see, what happened is those people there, mostly Buddhists, began to ask questions about how I became a pastor. And I told them back in 2005 I was working for a company in at Epping, and I'd go to work about an hour early and sit in the park there, and I'd open up my Bible and I'd read and spend time with God. And I told them that for a period of about 6 months, I felt God saying to me every single day, "Chris, go to college and become a pastor." Well, after I shared that with them, they very curiously asked me, "What do you mean you heard God speak to you?" You know, once I'd done my best then to answer that question, a follow-up question came. "Do you still hear voices?" That's what they were wondering. You see, for Buddhists, or for these people, the thought of a God that was personal, whom communicated with his people, was something that they had never heard of before. And so they were intrigued. Was I really hearing the voice of a God, or was I indeed crazy? Now, most of us hopefully know the answer to that question, but perhaps those options aren't mutually exclusive sometimes. But indeed, we follow and we worship a God who speaks to us, who is with us in life, and that seeks to guide all that we do. But there are many in our world that aren't aware of such a God. And so as we begin to look at how faith looks like holding on to the promises of God, we discover the reality of the voice and the presence of God in our lives. As I said, this is something Trav spoke about last week. If you haven't heard that sermon, go back and listen to it. But Joshua sought to step out in obedience because he heard the word of God speak to him. And the reality is that God speaks to us all. No matter where we are in our faith journey, God is there communicating to us, speaking his words into our life and making promises to us for us to hold on to as we go about this journey of faith. You know, at times as we open up the word of God, where there are these general promises we come across, promises that are for all people, for all generations. And I'm thinking of passages like Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22, which says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." You know, there's promises in that for us today that no matter what happens in our world, no matter what happens in our lives, God is always and will always be with each and every one of us. There's also passages like Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, which was echoed in Joshua chapter 1 from last week, where the people of God are getting ready to cross over into the promised land after so long of walking in the wilderness. And God says something very specific to them with a promise for all that follow. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." What a promise in that. You see, as we read the word, we hear God communicating to us the promise that he's going to go out with us no matter what happens. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, it doesn't matter where you are on your faith journey or your present circumstances, God's promise is true. And so within the word of God are all these promises for all generations, promises that we're called to hold on to in this journey of faith. But then there are promises that God will also make to us individually. You see, if you believe in a God that really knows you intimately, that even knows all the amount of hairs on your head, as the psalmist says, then it shouldn't be a surprise that he hears, that he speaks to you individually. And this is where we come to the story of Abraham. You see, through Abraham's journey of faith, there becomes a moment in Genesis chapter 12 where God speaks directly to him. Now, we don't hear about how he knew it was the voice of God speaking, just like we didn't hear about how Joshua last week knew God was speaking to him. But what we do know is that when Abraham hears the words of God, he stops and he listens. And this is what God says to him in Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." You know, in these very words, we discover the presence and the work of God directly to Abraham. God speaks to Abraham. Abraham listens to the voice of God. And God makes these great promises to him. He promises that he's going to make him into a great nation. That from his name will come a family of people whom will be great and they'll be numerous. And they'll be a blessing to all peoples on earth. You know, that's a pretty big promise, isn't it, that God is making to Abraham. It's a pretty overwhelming promise. As we continue to read on in Genesis, we see time and time again God repeatedly speaking and affirming his promises to Abraham. You know, perhaps Abraham's a bit like me, that I'm quite forgetful and God needs to keep reminding me of things. But indeed, these passages clearly show us that God is deeply present in Abraham's life. And as Abraham continues this journey of faith, as we see in the coming chapters of Genesis, Abraham tries his best to hold on to those promises and wait for God to fulfill them. You know, I think, though, that through this journey of faith, it can be really hard at times to feel the presence and voice of God in our lives. You know, many of us, and myself included, live such busy lives that often it doesn't leave much room for God to, not so much speak, for us to hear what God might be saying to us. But I want to say that when we get an opportunity to stop, where we get stuck into his word, when we spend time in prayer and we actually make an effort to listen to what he might be saying to us, then we discover that there is a God who is with us. A God who wants to talk to us. A God who wants to make promises to us as we are called to live out this faith journey. And so the first thing I think we discover that as we look at the story of Abraham and as we seek to hold on to the promises of God is we discover the voice and the presence of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for me that at times I can be a bit of a skeptic when it comes to the power of God. Now, don't get me wrong, I know that God is all-powerful, but I can be a bit of a skeptic at times because there's this rational side of me that can so easily kick in. I remember pastoring a church many years ago, and there was a young lady, a few years older than me at the time, that I started visiting who had significant medical issues. She had type 1 diabetes all her life, but it was getting to a point where it was really getting out of hand. But there was also an abundance of all these other medical conditions that were all interacting together, sort of creating a perfect storm. And it meant that she was in and out of hospital quite a bit. Over the years, as I had the pleasure of meeting with her regularly and journeying with her through faith, and what God was trying to say through all this. I was really encouraged through those times we met up. But one thing that really stood out to me as we met up was her incredible understanding of the all-powerfulness of God. She knew that God was able to do anything he wanted and that he could bring about complete healing for her if he chose to. And so each time we met, we prayed, we begged, and we asked God to intervene in her life to bring about miraculous healing because modern medicine could not completely heal her. You know, as she talked about her love and her faith in God and as she continued her prayers for healing and spoke of her hope, I must admit that there was a part of me at times that it almost seemed like too big of an ask. Don't get me wrong, as I said, I know God is all powerful. I knew it in my head, but did I really know it in my heart? And did I expect him to bother to show his power in this way? Because it's not something I see regularly. Perhaps my eyes aren't open enough. You know, we read throughout the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, a miracle upon miracle where paralyzed people begin to walk, where dead comes to life, where a woman stops bleeding, and the blind see. We read stories of God in creation, stories of God being able to bring about a great flood, but also being able to hold back the waters. And so on these stories go. But then in some ways, I still doubt the power of God at times, and I so easily revert back to modern science and medicine. Not that those are bad, but it means sometimes I doubt God. Well, in the story of Abraham, as God continues to affirm his promises over and over again, in Genesis 15, there appears to be an issue. Let's read how Abraham responds to God in verse 2 to 3. He says, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me by saying, since I still remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "You have given me no children, and so a servant in my household will be my heir." Come on, God, how could you possibly fulfill this promise since I don't have a son? How are you able to do this when we're unable to fall pregnant? Come on, God, there is a big problem here. And again, we read on in chapter 17, again, God reaffirms his promise to Abraham. But listen to Abraham's response this time in chapter 17, verse 17. It says, "Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child the age of 90? And Abraham said to him, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." God, I know that you are all powerful, but this is impossible. We are too old. Can you hear the struggle of faith here with Abraham as he hears these promises from God? No matter how many times God keeps telling him about the promises, Abraham finds all the things wrong with it. And you know, as I read this, I think to myself, perhaps I'm a little bit more like Abraham than I thought I was. Because it just seemed impossible. God was too late. But you see, as we seek to hold on to God's promises in this journey of faith, we begin to see discover the all-powerfulness of God. We discover that God can, and in fact, he does do the impossible. We discover that God is able to accomplish things that we are not able to do for ourselves. And this here is Abraham's lesson. As Abraham laughs at God, God tells him that nothing, absolutely nothing, is outside of his power. And so God says this to Abraham in verse 19. He says, "Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." For God, age does not matter. For God, prior fertility, success, or failure does not matter. You see, God makes it clear that if he has promised it, then he will make it happen. And I wonder, as I go through this journey of faith and as I seek to hold on to God's promises, do I need to lean more into the all-powerfulness of God more? No matter how hard or impossible things may seem, how can I trust in that God, if he's promised it, he will make it happen even when all things seem lost? You know, this is really hard as month after month and year after year goes on, and we're still waiting for God to fulfill those promises when it just seems impossible. But I guess that's why it requires faith. And so as we continue to see what faith looks like in holding to God's promises, we discover not only the voice and the presence of God in our lives, but we also discover the powerfulness of God in our lives. Now, let's be honest with ourselves at this point. We all like to take matters into our own hands at times. As humans, we're pretty good at solving our own problems and just getting the job done. And I think God actually gave us these gifts to be able to do exactly that at times. You know, I learned from an early age that I was pretty handy around the house. My mum used to call me Mr. Fix-It. But I must admit that sometimes there were times that I learnt that I probably shouldn't try and do some things myself, such as fixing the switch to the garage door whilst power was still turned on. That was exciting. And I think this is here where we really see the struggle in the journey of faith for Abraham and Sarah as they try to hold on to this promise of God, which they just think is impossible. You see, God's promise seems significant and big for them, but also a bit impossible. And so they make a decision here to take matters into their own hands. Let's read Genesis 16 from verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar, and so she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. What on earth were they thinking? You know, as they sought to hold on to these promises of God, they saw their inability to fall pregnant as a barrier to God being able to fulfill his promises. And so they came up with their own plan. A plan which required, I guess, infidelity of Abraham sleeping with someone who wasn't his wife and hoping that that was going to be the way that God would bring about his promises. And I understand that it would have been hard for them at this point with this desire to have a child, but also knowing the promises of God and how central having a child was to those promises. But I must admit here that this is a cataclysmically bad decision. It's not the solution that God had in mind for them. But in the midst of this very bad decision, in this moment of this lack of faith in God's power and ability to fulfill his promises, I think we discover something really incredible. We discover the graciousness of God. So let's read from chapter 17, verse 4. "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And then we'll skip down to verse 15. "And God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her.' Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only God, Ishmael may live under your blessings. And then God says, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, and I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be a father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. God's promise wasn't for Abraham to go off with Sarah's slave and to have a child born out of adultery. But yet, God still reveals his graciousness. He still remains faithful to the original promise. And despite Abraham and Sarah's bad decision to take matters into their own hands, God graciously chooses to also bless Ishmael and his descendants too. You know, I know that through my faith journey, there are plenty of times that I haven't listened to the voice of God and trusted in his guiding enough. I know there are times where I've perhaps heard the promises of God, but when I've failed to see God fulfilling them, I've perhaps gone off and done my own thing, or I began to doubt the presence of God altogether in my life. But as I read about the graciousness of God through Abraham's story, but also throughout all the pages of Scripture, I'm encouraged that no matter what happens, God will remain with me and will continue to guide me. It doesn't mean we should go out and try and do things on our own and on our own strength and simply rely on God's continued graciousness and his forgiveness. But we're called to hold on and to rely on, to know that God will be faithful and gracious. So rest assured in the graciousness of God throughout this journey of faith. Well, finally, as we go through faith, as we seek to hold on to the promises of God, another thing we discover on this journey is also the faithfulness of God. You know, as humans, at times we can be pretty unfaithful. You know, we make promises all the time, and so often we might break those promises. Now, sometimes those promises might be small and insignificant, and so the harm done is fairly minimal. But sometimes those promises are really big and significant, and so when those promises get broken, there can be great pain caused. But as we look throughout the story of Abraham, as God continues to reaffirm his promises to him, even though it seems impossible and even laughable, and even though Abraham and Sarah take matters into their own hands, we discover the incredible graciousness and faithfulness of God as he fulfills his promise. Let's read together from Genesis 21, and I love this passage from verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore him a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God promised him. Abraham gave him the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Friends, this is where our faith journey all comes together. It's all in the faithfulness of God. You see, as we read about the faithfulness of God in the story of Abraham and throughout all the pages of Scripture, we're assured of the faithfulness of God in our own lives. You know, there will be times where things seem impossible, but God remains faithful. There will be times where we may think that God has forgotten us, but God remains faithful. There will be times where we take matters into our own hands and make mistakes, but yet God will still be faithful. And so let us hold firm to the God's promises, because God is faithful. Well, as I finish up, I just want to share with you one more story. About 7.5 years ago, as a family, we went through a really hard time that lasted several years. You know, with what we were going through, there were plenty of moments of tears, of feeling hopeless, and just crying out to God for Him to intervene in our lives and to reveal Himself to us. You know, through this period, there was a point in our where we needed to move out of the house that we were living in and find another house to rent. And now to set the little picture a little bit more, my wife and I at this time were not working. And so we're trying to find a house to rent with zero income. It doesn't really make us the ideal candidate for most landlords. But anyway, we checked out a few houses and nothing was quite right for our family. And then one day we set off to look at yet another house. And my daughter, who had only just turned three, she was sitting there in the back seat of the car next to our son, who was almost 9 months old. And suddenly my three-year-old daughter asked me, "Is the house going to be purple?" Now, it's a strange question to ask. You're right to laugh at that. We'd never really talked about the color of houses before. But as I was driving, I said to her, without thinking at all, I said, "No, the house won't be purple, but maybe there'll be a purple room." You know those moments where you say things and you can sort of see the words come out of your mouth and you want to try and grab them and shove them back in because you said them without thinking? This was one of those moments. You see, the problem was that we had seen photos of this house online and there was no purple room. And so I felt like I was setting my daughter up for disappointment. But then what happened was amazing. Immediately, my daughter, my three-year-old daughter, sitting there in the back seat, started praying out loud. It was a short and simple prayer, but she said this: "Dear God, please help there be a purple room. Amen." You know, I remember my surprise as I was trying to drive, but also see my daughter there praying this prayer and trying to say to mom, "Oh my goodness, can you hear what she's saying here?" But then after she said amen, she said something that I will never forget. She looked at my wife and I, and she told us, "God said yes." What on earth were we going to do when we turn up to this house and there is no purple room? She thinks she's heard a promise from God. But how disappointed is she going to be when there is no purple room? What will that change within her about her faith in God, about how she understands Him? Anyway, we arrived at this house and we started having a look at it, and it seemed like it would be a good place for us as a family. And then my daughter Amelia goes into one of the rooms. And she gets excited because she sees a purple sheet on a bed. Obviously, purple was the color she loved. Oh, this is hard, sorry. I thought I was going to get through this without crying. But then I turned my head to the right, and there was a purple wall. And I must admit that when I saw that wall, I wanted to cry in that moment. I brought my daughter's attention to that wall and said, "Hey, Amelia, look, there's a purple wall there." But did God really listen to the prayer of my three-year-old daughter? Did she really hear the voice of God make a promise to her? You know, in that moment, God spoke not just to my daughter, but also to us. Because in our pain, we'd been crying out to God, wondering where He was. But in that moment, God said to us, "I've heard your prayers and I'm here with you. It's okay. I'm still faithful to my promises. I've got you." Now, in many ways, we are still in the process of waiting for God to fulfill His promises to us. There have been moments where we've asked God, "God, is this it? Are you now fulfilling your promises?" But God has said, "No, just trust me." And so we keep waiting in faith, knowing that He will be faithful to His promises. But I love the fact that for me, God chose to speak to me through my three-year-old daughter. Somehow she felt a prompting by God to pray. God heard her pray, and now a stupid purple wall has become a massive part of God's faithfulness for us. You know, we joke about we wanting God to put the writing on the wall. Well, for God, God painted the entire wall for us. See, holding onto God's promises can be really hard at times. And I don't know where you are in your faith journey of waiting for God to fulfill promises to you. Perhaps he's fulfilled promises already and we can celebrate that and praise him for that. But I wonder, Matt, how many people are sitting here today still waiting, perhaps hoping that God hasn't forgotten you and will bring about his promises at the right time. You know, after the service, there's going to be people up the front here who want to pray for you. And I encourage you to take up this opportunity for prayer if God's stirring something within you. Together, let's hold on to God's promises because God is faithful. Let's pray. Father God, we stand before you as people who aren't perfect, yet you perfectly love us. We stand here before you, Father, as people who don't always listen to your voice, but yet you keep speaking. We're here before you, Father, as people who aren't always faithful, but yet you are always faithful. Father God, as we hear your promises, as we seek to hold on to them, may we discover more about your goodness, your love, your graciousness, and your faithfulness. Help us to know more about what it means to follow you on this faith journey as we seek to hold on to these promises. And help us to know more and more each day that you are faithful and that if you've promised it, you will make it happen. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.